ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I think this record is for anyone that just doesn't have closure. I think that's the real feeling of this record. You're not going to be able to control everything all the time. Nothing you do is going to change this situation. And so start working on yourself right now, girl. Sort the stuff that you know you did out.
If you've ever lost touch with a friend or been heartbroken by a platonic breakup, Stella Donnelly's new album is for you. Documenting the end of a friendship, it is brutally honest, it's heartbreaking, and it's a really hopeful record that so many of us can relate to. And I couldn't wait to talk with her all about it. Stella is one of the best songwriters around today. She's always shot from the hip, told it like it is, and been unafraid to share the truth. So when I heard she was making this album, I asked her to take five with songs of radical honesty. We also spoke about this new album, Love and Fortune, and given its very personal nature, I asked her what it felt like to have these songs finally out in the world.
It feels really nice to have the whole record out now, I guess, because I'd put some singles out prior to this. And, you know, I do feel like this album needs every song in it to kind of tell the whole story.
That I'm the perfect friend who does no harm. That you still love me, we could carry on.
The first single I put out was kind of the more self-righteous, petty song in Feel It Change. And then Year of Trouble was more of a guilt-ridden, soppy ballad. And so, yeah, I feel like the rest of the songs are kind of the rest of the team now, joining them to kind of, you know, articulate the sentiments a little better.
Almost like you've been putting chapters of a novel as kind of contributions to a literary magazine and now you've released the full book.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I can't let it go, no mystery solved.
It's incredibly open, at times really quite raw, and like I said, really beautiful. So I thought I'd give you the Take Five theme today of radical honesty, which sounds like self-help, but let's go there. Tunes that lay it all out unapologetically, that show their bones, sometimes lick their wounds, music that sings a story and releases us from the grip of what holds us down and hopefully enables us to move forward. Firstly, how did you go with the theme when I sent it to you?
I was immediately really excited because I'd been listening to Lily Allen's new record all week, which is
speaking
just,
of radical honesty.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I knew what one of my songs was going to be, spoiler. but I found it really exciting to go back in time and think about what lyricists inspired me, I guess, and think about what those songs that I've heard over the years that have kind of gone, whoa, that hit me in the guts, you know. So I really enjoyed choosing these five songs.
And there's going to be a bit of a chronology on these songs as well.
Yeah, I went back to when I first kind of noticed lyrics being really powerful and raw, and so I thought, yeah, I'll go for a little walk through time there.
Okay, well, let's start at the beginning. Your first choice is from Billy Bragg. Tell me about The Short Answer.
I feel like on this album, Billy Bragg, well, in all of his work really, but I feel like, unlike many men around that time, Billy built the female characters in his songs as far more than two-dimensional. They were often the more reasonable, pragmatic person in the songs. And so I grew up listening to Billy Bragg and hearing this song in particular. There's a line, you know, she says to him, "No amount of poetry can mend this broken heart, but you can take the Hoover round if you want to make a start."
You can put the Hoover round if you want to make a start.
I just thought, that's great.
It's very real, isn't it?
It's real. It's real. It's him being self-deprecating. It's him acknowledging, you know, that, like, he's a bit, you know, maybe a bit useless, which he's not. I love you, Billy. But, you know, within this song, you can just really, he really captures the dynamic in a very fair way.
Yeah.
You know, he's telling both sides of the story.
He also, like, you know, he's celebrated and known very much for being a political songwriter, but when he wrote personal songs, he really nailed those as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he brought the political into the house, into the home. Workers' Playtime, that album, is a deeply political record with all of these love songs scattered through.
Yeah, that's the price I pay for loving you the way that I do.
Which I gave me permission, I guess, to, as an artist, to look inward and outward at the same time.
I feel like this, I'm going to say this about so many of these songs because you've picked some brilliant songwriters, but there's a particular line in this that you could frame. She should have been the last. She was the latest. It's so economical, but also it speaks to this kind of, you know, there's regret that he's lost this great love. But throughout the song, there feels like a great understanding that there will be love and there will be heartbreak and there'll be many of those experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is kind of, that's hopeful, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He's always managed to put a glint on each little moment of heartbreak.
The two brothers took me out of circulation for the duration. So we went our separate ways, but does she still love me? She still has my door key. Like a bully boy in a Benetton shop, you're never happy with what you've got till what you've got has gone. Sorry, Mary.
Interestingly too, I don't know if you remember this because, look, let's just say the pandemic squeezed our brain a bit, but during the pandemic in 2021, you did a Take Five with me. I think we must have done it on Zoom or something. Anyway, you picked another song from this same record, Workers' Playtime. You picked Valentine's Day Is Over.
Valentine's Day is over.
Where the theme was songs that belong. So is this like your favourite Billy Bragg record?
Yes. There's a poster of this record in my parents' house, like a giant poster. It's, I guess it's the token record of my childhood. And
soundtrack to your coming of age, I guess, too.
Absolutely.
You can't remove those connections, right? It's like sort of seared in, like, you know, the gristle and the muscle has grown over those songs and it becomes part of you when you grow up with music like that.
Absolutely. And thank God it was Billy Bragg. You know?
For me, it was Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells, and no regrets. No regrets. What do you love about, I mean, I know this is a big question because I know how huge an influence he is on you, but what is it that you love about the way that Billy writes songs?
He brings domesticity to things that are so profound, I guess. He finds suburban ways of talking about really, really complicated things that we all go through in life. And there's always a bit of humor in there. There's self-deprecation. He's just someone that thinks about it a lot. And yeah, I really respect Billy, you know, then and now. And that's pretty cool as well, to have a hero who I still believe is doing what he can with his platform, you know?
Yeah, 100%. He is a man of great conviction. Also that sort of sense of the everyday and the specificity around things that we can all see and touch is probably why he's connected so broadly with so many people, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's why it connected with me when I was 8 years old, going, you know, the first line of that song, Marx and Marzipan. What is Marx? What is Marzipan? You know, but you're like, that sounds good. You know, what is, you know, and yeah, I don't know. It just, it connected with me somehow. Yeah.
When you, like Billy, don't turn so much outward and are looking at political and social issues, but you turn inward and look at your own life and you have to be radically honest about yourself, as you have on this record, does that take more guts, do you think?
Yeah, it definitely, it took a while, especially, you know, around a friendship ending. I would argue that a friendship breakup is far harder than a romantic breakup. And I do think there is so much shame around having let a friendship go, you know, and questioning, and there's just there's no short answer for a better word, you know, with the friendship breakup. And so yeah, going inward and having to kind of like get into the weeds a little bit of my part to play in that was challenging, and I do feel like it was a brave thing to do, rather than just write a record that's just kind of a little bit more of a you to someone, you know.
How long did it take you to explore all of these ideas and actually write this whole album?
I'd say 2.5 years.
Mm.
And I started getting a little bit in my head about how long it was taking. So I pretended that I was writing a book. And that really helped, actually. Yeah, I kind of was like, people take way longer than this to write a book.
100%.
Yeah.
It's also a huge narrative, and I'm sure that your feelings around this person, this experience, this relationship, and where you were at would have changed dramatically over that 2.5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the songs really helped me find that path and forge that path. I set limitations for each song. You know, I decided, right, let yourself be really petty on this one. You can make up for it on the next one, you know, and just sort of, you know, let yourself be mad here. Don't try and encompass the whole complex mountain of a friendship into one song. Let the record do it. So taking those steps on a conceptual level probably helped me get over it on a heart level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the beauty of being a songwriter is you give yourself therapy with every time you're writing a song.
I don't feel anything. You don't feel anything. I don't know anything. You don't do anything.
We're talking about Love and Fortune, the new Stella Donnelly record, which just came out last week. It is about the end of a friendship, and I agree, those friendship breakups are always so much more messy and unresolved compared to romantic breakups. Something that I'm really happy that we are talking about more and more, particularly women are talking about more and more in the last 15, 20 years. But someone who has also in her time written a lot about political and social issues looked outward. So I'm really not surprised to see your next pick, Stella. You've chosen an Australian classic written by Kev Carmody and Paul Kelly, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. I mean, where to begin? Why did you choose this song?
I mean, honesty, radical, those two words, I guess. Thinking about truth-telling, thinking about my education in the schooling system here in Australia, how the stories were so different from the stories that I got to hear through music. And, you know, I just felt like we weren't taught the real history of Australia, and I'm very lucky to have parents that played Yothu Yindi, Wurrumpi Band, Kev Carmody, Paul Kelly in our house, and those conversations could happen. And yeah, I mean, this is just the ultimate truth-telling story of resilience.
It's also a song that is about, you know, it begins as a walk-off about a pay dispute, and then it morphs into this huge win for Indigenous land rights.
Vincent sat down with their big politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out. Why are people hungry? Vincent said, no thanks. We know how to wait.
From little things, big things grow.
You know, and again, thinking back, I'm certainly not drawing a parallel with your record, but you're talking about taking time, patience, hope, possibility. All of these themes are explored through this song as well, aren't they? In such a way that you can kind of go, okay, well, sometimes we get eager to know the answer, solve the problem, cure the heartache, but sometimes we just have to wait, and then something far larger could be ahead of us. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah, and just to like not get in your own, not get in your way, get out of your own way, essentially, you know, for those moments to happen. And I love the line, I'm probably not going to say it right, but, you know, even just others arising, even just those three words are such a powerful kind of, oh, we've stepped up in this story. This story's just expanded into not a story, but between two men, but there's crowds now. And I think, yeah, that's a really special moment in that song.
I just got shivers as you said it.
Vesty man said, I'd double your wages, £7 a week you have in your hand. Vincent said, we're not talking about wages, we're sitting right here till we get our land.
Vesty man roared, Vesty man thundered, you don't stand a chance of a cinder and snow. Vincent, if we fall, others arising.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
There's something as well about, and I know that Paul likes doing this in his songwriting in terms of the music of it, but that sort of looping mantra as well. And it is, you know, it's a long song, but with that kind of loop, it just always feels like you're progressing forward. It's a very progressive song.
Yeah, and you want it, you want to hear the next thing, you know? You're in the seat, your seatbelt's on.
Gather around people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no, you don't get bored in it. I don't know how he does it. He does such a good job with the chords and the melody there, where as soon as maybe you'd be a slightly bored of his voice, he changes it up just quickly enough, and then it's back to that narrative again. Yeah,
very clever songwriter.
Very good.
Stella, your record is all about sharing something incredibly personal, and you've always been really honest. You're a very honest songwriter from day dot since we first heard you. Your very first song, Boys Will Be Boys, quite a debut.
And
is it ever hard to be honest?
Yeah, because if you're going to point out, you've got to be prepared to point in. And I think, you know, on my first record, Boys Will Be Boys and Old Man and all of those songs, I'm very much pointing out at the world.
Oh, are you scared of me, old man?
You know, I'm very proud of that young woman for just being so obnoxiously sure of herself in that time. And so, yeah, I do think it's hard to be honest because you've got to be prepared to, you know, treat yourself with the same sort of approach.
I love that line. I'm going to use that. You got to be prepared to point in if you're going to point out. Get as good as you give.
Yeah, that's it.
What's your North Star when you're wavering? And I think particularly with this record, I can imagine there must have been periods where you were like, oh, I'm really going to say this and people are going to hear it. And specifically this other person, the other half of this conversation, is going to hear it too.
I guess just remembering that they're just songs. They're songs, it's music, and it's a story in many ways, as much as it is personal, it is just music, I guess.
Yeah, which that's something interesting for a songwriter to say.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, the album's just come out and I guess I've just been trying not to get too worked up around all the nerves around it coming out. So that's my mantra. It's just music. It's just music.
Yeah.
Even though music is the most powerful thing in the world.
But if you tell yourself that, then you're going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think, you know, other artists are my North Star as well. You know, looking around at other songwriters, like the ones we're talking about today, knowing that they probably felt a little scared before putting these songs out too, I think that really helps me kind of go, right, I can be brave.
I reckon that just reminding yourself that everyone's shit scared is a really good balancer.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're all faking it. Yeah. We're all faking that confidence. Mm-hmm. We get there, but we don't always start there, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
Well, you've picked a classic from Sharon Van Etten for your next choice. Stella Donnelly is taking five with Radical Honesty, and this is a beauty. We're going back more than 10 years. Every Time the Sun Comes Up is your next choice. Why is this song a song of radical honesty for you?
Well, I love crass lyrics, first of all. Yeah. So just a woman being crass will do it for me. But just also Sharon, you know, I love how there's this moment where she's like, people say I'm a one-hit wonder, but what happens if I have two? You know, it's just this sort of...
It's such a good line.
Yeah.
People say...
It's cheeky.
But also the way she delivers it, because it's have to, but also, but one, if I have to,
yep.
As in like,
yep.
What if I have to do more?
It's,
you know, or just this, the cadence of her singing and her speech, the rhythm in which she delivers these lines, it is like a masterclass in intention,
yeah.
And how you can read into that intention in six different ways, right?
Yeah, you put it so perfectly. Yeah, it's like if you want to take her as being, you know, overconfident and cheeky, take it that way, or you can look at it in it from a completely different perspective. So, yeah, she's you can just get so much of Sharon from her songs, I think.
And you just really like that she's singing about taking a shit as well, don't you?
Love it.
And she's here as well. She played Hobart just last night. She's heading to Castlemaine this weekend. Are you going to see her when she's in town?
Yes, I'm so excited. Yeah.
She's amazing live too. And also I'm loving the kind of post-punk goth vibes of her new record as well. So it'd be interesting to see how she weaves that in with, I mean, it's always kind of had that moody vibe with Sharon Van Etten, but yeah, really interesting to see how she weaves it all through.
Yeah, I love how many left turns she takes as a songwriter, but you still have that real essence of her in all of her records. And yeah, she's amazing.
Can't Speaking wait. Of touring as well, you're about to play some shows very soon. You're going to be heading back over west to the Rosemount Hotel in Perth on November 23rd, and then you're doing a big national tour in February and March next year as well. Are you excited to get out on the road with these songs?
I really am. We're in rehearsals at the moment, and it's been really nice to kind of like fix all the mistakes that I made on the record.
I didn't hear any.
But just, you know, like, go, oh, I wish I'd done that. Oh, we could do that in the show, you know, and nothing too drastic, but just these little moments, you know, like, could we have gone a bit harder on that bit? And creating a live show is so much fun. And then also finding out how they connect with the old songs and, you know, weaving a kind of a storyline through all of that as well.
Yeah, are you thinking about the sequencing and how it all fits together?
Yeah, I mean, mostly just how many times I have to take my capo on and off and retune.
More a convenience than anything else. Love
it. Trying not to walk back and forth across the stage to the keyboard too many times. But also, yeah, like try not to go throw people around too much emotionally would be great.
Well, you've always been the master of in-between song banter as well, so I feel like whatever happens, the crowd will be with you the whole time.
Yeah, I'll try my best, yeah.
It's like, I remember the first time I saw you, I'm like, all right, really good songwriter, amazing voice, great player, also feel like I'm watching stand-up comedy. She's got it all.
Oh my God.
Is there anything she cannot do? The sound of this record too is so beautiful, Stella. Like, it just sounds so warm and it feels... right, given the story that you're telling.
You are red.
harvesting passion fruit before spring, too green for picking, peaceful on the vine.
It feels like a very safe cocoon that you're in when you're listening to it. Is that something that you really thought about when you were producing the record?
Yeah, I was in a safe cocoon when I wrote the record. My housemates built me a little box to go in the shed of our share house so that I wouldn't annoy anyone with my playing. And so it was a very dark box, no windows or anything. And I would just squirrel in there and spend all my time in that little cocoon. And then once it got time to recording the album properly, it was just myself and my three bandmates, Julia, Jack and Marcel. And it did, again, have that warm cocoon feeling of the four of us. We felt like children that had been let into an adult zone without any adults. It was very fun.
There's also bird sounds on this record, and I know you're a keen ornithologist.
Yes.
On Please Everyone, there's the sounds of little birds. Was that important to have the sounds of birds on this record?
Yeah, it was, particularly on that song. I feel like, you know, that song talks about that sort of that parallel feeling you get when you're no longer in someone's life, but you know exactly what they're up to. And, you know, you've got your period, so they've probably got their period right now, you know, and all of those feelings. And the story of birds was very much part of that friendship that I had. So I guess putting those bird sounds on that song made a lot of sense, thinking about, oh, I wonder what birds they're seeing right now, you know.
That's devastating.
Yeah, it's so
really
sad.
Yeah, it really is sad. I mean, we're talking about being a sad record, but there's real beauty in this sadness too. And again, just having that inside voice out is really important, not just for you, but for so many people who will listen to this record. So I'm really excited for people to discover it. It's just gorgeous. Fittingly too, the next choice that you've given us is from a band who love to include a lot of field recordings in their music, Big Thief, headed up by the brilliant songwriter Adrian Lenker. You've chosen Mythological Beauty. Why this song?
It was really hard to decide which Big Thief or Adrian Lenker song to choose.
Yeah.
This song tells a story of complication. It tells a story of family in a way that's so non-judgmental. And I really love that about Adrian's writing, in that this is a song about her mum. And you could choose to take it so many ways, but Adrian hasn't taken it. You know, Adrian's just telling that line. And yeah, I don't know. This song really, really grabbed me. When you listen to those lyrics, it really, it haunts you.
There is a child inside you who's trying to raise a child in me. If you
leave. Well, it's kind of a good reminder too that our parents were once children themselves, right? We often don't think because, you know, especially as kids, you're just all about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the world revolves around you, and your parents were only ever there when you were born, and that's their whole purpose in life. But I think that this song really celebrates the life that her mother had, the mistakes she made, the mess of it all, and also, you know, that she got scared as well, that she was a human and felt all these feelings. Because that's the other thing. We rarely see our parents scared, right?
Yeah.
And when you do, that's terrifying.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're supposed to be the ones who keep it together.
Yeah.
Such a good song. So many good songs from Adrian and Big Thief. And as chosen by another damn good songwriter, Stella Donnelly, who has just released her third album, Love and Fortune. It came out last Friday. It is a story of a friendship heartbreak. You know, those times where you just stop hanging out with a friend and there's a lot of unresolved questions about why, what did I do, what did you do? Where did it all go wrong? It is a strange feeling. And I know that it's something that a lot of people listening would feel keenly, that kind of open-ended feeling of loss and confusion that follows a breakup around a friendship. It is beautifully, beautifully realized, and I know it's going to really connect with a lot of people. Does it matter if this person has heard it, or is this an album for you and no one else? As you said at the start of this conversation, is it a book? Is it a journal?
It's more of a journal. It's definitely more of a pointing inwards, self-critique, I think. I think if I hadn't talked about the fact that this is a friendship breakup record and that person had heard it, they may not have even found themselves in some of those songs, because I've taken a lot of creative license in kind of building more interesting stories around some of the emotions that I was having, you know, and that's not just, you know, to build a good story, but also to protect myself and the sanctity of that friendship too. So I don't think it matters if they hear it or not. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, maybe they'll hear it and maybe understand a little bit more from my side, but who knows? Yeah, who knows? It's, again, it's just a complicated thing. And that's why it took me 3 years to put it out, because I'm like, do I put this out? Oh, you know.
I feel like you really explore that quite successfully too. I'm not in this relationship, but I've experienced similar things to you. And your ability to bring to life that confusion and that anxiety, but also the kind of two sides of the coin. There's moments where, as you say, you're, you know, a little bit pissed off. There's other moments where it's like, oh, did I fuck it up? Was it me? What did I do? And then just, are you going to answer my letters?
Yeah.
Wrote you a list in my notes again. Am I happier now than I was then? When I recall, I was your friend.
That roller coaster of emotions are there, and everyone can connect with that. And sometimes there are no answers, right?
Yeah, and I think this record is for anyone that just doesn't have closure. I think that's the real feeling of this record, of like, you're not going to be able to control everything all the time. And I think that was a big wake-up call for me, in terms of like, you know what? Nothing you do is going to change this situation. And so start working on yourself right now, girl. Like, you know, you sort the stuff that you know you did out, and see what life can bring you from there, and look around at the people. And I think that's a big thing on this record. I called it Love and Fortune because for the first year after that breakup, I was sitting in my room reading self-help books in my share house, full of my closest friends who love me so much. And it's like, get out of your room, stop reading self-help books, and just be with your friends, you idiot. So, yeah.
The best kind of self-help.
Yeah, exactly.
And also now I'm feeling really self-conscious about the fact that I gave you literally the name of a self-help book in Radical Honesty as your theme.
Love it. I still love a self-help book. Still love them.
This will grow you. Buy my new book and I'll show you. Show you.
We all do. It does feel like there's a moment towards the end, particularly literally in the last song with Laying Low, where even though you don't necessarily have that closure, you're moving on, you're moving forward. There's a feeling of hope on that final song. Do you feel as though that is kind of a way of gaining closure yourself? Exactly all the things you said. I can't control this, so I've got to move on with what I know and what I have and just step into the next part of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Whilst still holding on to, you know, that last verse is, I hope one day we can say hello. I'm not going to lie, I still have dreams where I'm at a music festival or something and I see them and we're like, oh, hey, I'm so sorry about all of that. Hey, good to see you anyway, you know, blah, 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 bye. And that, I mean, I wake up often feeling so sad that that hasn't happened. So yeah, I, you know, as much as I'm like, I've moved on, there will always be that part of me that just hopes for an acknowledgement of kindness between two people, I guess.
It's beautifully said. It's beautifully written on this record. It is just some of the best songwriting that I've heard. Thank you for making this record, Love and Fortune, Stella. It's just wonderful. You've got one final choice. It's very fresh. Speaking of people who kind of colour outside the edges, she's spoken about this as being a blend of fact and fiction. And a lot of people are reading in a lot of things to West End Girl. Yes, we're ending with Lily Allen, as you forecast at the start. You haven't chosen Pussy Palace, which is a big hit, but you have chosen my other favourite song from the record, Relapse. Why did you choose this song?
I almost chose Pussy Palace.
It's a bop.
It's so good. But I chose Relapse because it's a little moment of introspection on this record, and just the moment, I'm not going to get the exact lyric right, but the girls are looking to me to teach them about love.
Mm.
Just that sort of like, I've got a decision to make here. Do I go towards the drinks and the Valium, or do I, and potentially risk losing way more than a marriage, you know, or do I pull my socks up and hold on for dear life? And gosh, Lily is so badass. And this record, I think, reminded me of how important she has been for female artists in just her crassness. Even just that has been so refreshing. So, yeah, but this particular song really, I don't know, lets you in on that scared little girl that's going through a really awful thing.
Radical Honesty is written all over this record. It is so raw and so, so good. And it's where we're ending. An amazing collection of songs. Congratulations on Love and Fortune. And thanks for taking five, Stella.
Thanks for having me, Zan.
A perfect song to close out a take five of Radical Honesty. And what a joy to have that conversation with Stella Donnelly. Take some time to listen to her new album, Love and Fortune, in full. It's really something. And from one storyteller to another, next time we're taking five with a literary giant. Trent Dalton has sold millions of books, had his debut novel, Boy Swallows Universe, turned into a TV series, and he loves music. He's been wanting to take five for yonks, and next time, Trent Dalton will share the songs that tell his story. I can't wait.
Looking for more tunes to get you through the day? Swipe over to Double J in the Triple J app. You'll get heaps of Aussie music, the best new releases. And a bunch of songs you grew up listening to. Well, somebody told me you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend. Plus, your fave radio mates are there, like Dylan Lewis, Zanro, and Kaz Tran. Come and hang out with Double J on the Triple J app or your digital radio.